This evening I begin a series of messages, or meditations, if you will, on select psalms. The most familiar to us, of course, is Psalm 23. And although you may have Psalm 23 memorized, I would still invite you to turn with me there to Psalm 23. In your mind's eye this evening, picture yourself sitting in a large grassy meadow. You are slouched against the trunk of a short tree, really the only tree in sight. It is mid-afternoon, and you are watching a flock of sheep. There are a few sheep that are eating in the shade near you. The rest are scattered out in front of you, the lambs close to their mother's side. And you are their shepherd. You care for them. You feed them. You protect them. You lead them. You talk with them. But then the question enters your mind, what about me? Who takes care of me? Who protects me? Who feeds me? Who leads me? And then it strikes you, the Lord is my shepherd. And it was David, the shepherd boy, who reflected on this very thing. For you see, in Psalm 23, David is not writing as a shepherd, but as a sheep himself, one of the flock of God. And just as he was the sheep's shepherd, the Lord was his shepherd. In fact, you can sense his excitement as he exclaims, "The Lord is my shepherd." And as David begins to understand the fullness of that reality, he exploded with insight. And by inspiration of the Spirit of God, he penned Psalm 23. It is not just a lyric to be read at the time of death, but it is truly a blessed psalm for life. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, what can be said about the most familiar portion of the Scripture that hasn't already been said? This evening, I would like to lead us to meditate on Psalm 23 by asking ourselves a series of questions from this familiar psalm. And I've provided an outline for you. It's on the back side of the outline from this morning, there in your bulletin. If you don't have that outline, I'm sure you could capture these questions as well, just on a sheet of paper. The first question that I want us to bring to the text this evening is this. Question number one, am I one of his sheep? As you know, the psalm reads, "The Lord is my shepherd." Am I one of his sheep? Not everyone can declare with David, "The Lord is my shepherd," because God isn't everyone's shepherd. We are not all God's children, as the universalist would claim. In John 8:44, Jesus told the Pharisees, "You are of your father, the devil." So I pose the question to you this evening, are you one of the flock? Are you in the fold? Is the Lord your shepherd? Now most of us would answer, yes, of course. We've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been branded with the word forgiven. But is the Lord your shepherd today? Are you grazing in the shade next to the shepherd? Are you feasting on the green pastures under his care? Or have you strayed and wandered so far from him that you can hardly hear his voice, that you can hardly see his face? Does the Lord seem to be a million miles away? Let me remind you that the Lord created you. Let me remind you that the Lord purchased you. Don't fight his ownership. Don't disregard his care. Declare with the shepherd boy David, "The Lord is my shepherd." The first question, am I one of the sheep? A second question, am I in want? Am I in want? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If the Lord is your shepherd, or since the Lord is your shepherd, you should not be in want. And the concept is not lacking anything, not in need of anything, not deficient in anything. For the Lord promises to meet our needs. Of course, in Philippians, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus." And I doubt that there is a person under the sound of my voice this evening that lacks food, that lacks raiment, that lacks shelter. Our material needs are provided. And if indeed you are a child of God, you have all things that pertain to life and godliness, 2 Peter 1. But what if we extend this emphasis here in verse number 1, Psalm 23, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What if we extended that emphasis to the point of contentment? Are you in want? Or are you satisfied with the care of your shepherd? Are you convinced that entrusting yourself to the control of the Lord is best? Or are you convinced that perhaps there is greener grass to be found? And contentment should be the hallmark of the man or woman who has put his or her affairs into the hands of God. David says, because the Lord is my shepherd, I will never be in want. Is that your confidence this evening? There's a third question, moving quickly. Number three, am I at rest? Am I at rest? And you know the psalm well, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Am I at rest? The strange thing about sheep is that because of their very makeup, it is almost impossible for them to be made to lie down unless three requirements are met. First, a sheep must be free from all fear. Free from all fear. David said in Psalm 4:8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for you, Lord, only make me dwell in safety. And for the Christian, there is no substitute for the keen awareness that the shepherd is nearby. And for that reason, the Lord has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When the shepherd is close, we can be free from fear. 2 Timothy 1, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Free from fear. There's a second requirement that is necessary for a sheep to be at rest. The sheep must be free from friction with others of their kind. First is free from fear. Second is free from friction with others of their kind. Now, in every animal society, there is an order of dominance or status within the group. With chickens, we call it the pecking order. With cows or cattle, it is called the horning order. With sheep, it is the butting order. And because of the rivalry and competition that exists there, there is tension and friction among a flock of sheep, and they cannot rest. They must stand and defend their rights and position. And just like the fear, the only solution to the friction is the presence of the shepherd. And may I suggest to you, in a practical way, in your human relationships, when you become acutely aware of the presence of Jesus Christ, your foolish, selfish rivalries will end. It is the humble heart, walking quietly and contentedly in the close and intimate companionship of Christ, that is at rest, that can relax, simply glad to lie down and let the world go by. For a sheep to rest, the sheep must be free from friction with others of their kind. The third necessary requirement for a sheep to be at rest is the sheep must be free from hunger. Free from hunger. It's even implied in the phrase here, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down where? In green pastures. Green pastures. You may not have thought about it, but many of the great sheep countries of the world are dry, semi-arid areas. But most breeds of sheep flourish best in this sort of terrain because there are fewer health hazards and the climate is dry. However, in those same regions, it is neither natural nor common to find green pastures. And sheep need the rich green grasses. Therefore, shepherds must search for the pastures, must clear and plow, prepare, seed, irrigate, etc., etc. Don't think that a shepherd simply babysits sheep and wanders around with their flock. He had to be a farmer to feed his sheep. And there is no greener grass, in fact. There may not be any other grass around. And the sheep that can be at rest is a sheep that is free from hunger and can even lie down in the green grass. Are you at rest this evening? Are you stressed? Is there anxiety? Is there friction and fear and frustration? Or are you still? David says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm content, satisfied in all of his provision. He makes me to lie down in green pastures at rest. Fourth, the fourth question that we can bring to the psalm in meditation is, number four, am I thirsty? Am I thirsty? He leads me beside the still waters. Now, you are aware that the human body is about 70% water. The same is true of a sheep. We all understand the importance of water and the danger of dehydration. In fact, just 2 years ago, my wife and I were privileged to travel to the Holy Land, and one of the instructions that we were given was to always carry a water bottle with us, lest we suffer dehydration. because of the extreme heats. Our bodies alert us to the lack of water by an appetite we call thirst. And we might drink Coke or Gatorade or juice, and it all helps, but nothing quenches thirst like water. And the good shepherd leads his sheep to still waters. Now, what does that mean? If sheep aren't led to a good water supply, they will end up drinking from the polluted potholes and swamps along the way and will pick up internal parasites, liver flukes, nematoids, and other disease germs. And in my study, I also learned that the sheep will not drink out of a rushing stream or even a mountain river. They become frightened. And so a sheep needs still waters. A sheep is frightened of moving water because if a sheep's wool becomes wet and soaked, they are caught in the current and swept away. They need still waters. And for the believer, it's much more than a figure of speech. It's a practical reality. For the thirsty souls of men and women can only be satisfied when their spiritual thirst is quenched by the pure living water of Jesus Christ. Oh, you can try the pleasures of this world, and you can try the religions of mankind, but it's not until you drink of the living water will you be satisfied. Matthew 5, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, not man's righteousness, but the righteous person of Jesus Christ, for they shall be filled or satisfied. Let me ask you a bizarre question. Have you ever been still? Still. Maybe early in the morning. Maybe alone in the woods. You and your Bible. You and the Lord. Have you ever gone deep into the still waters of God's Word, and have you ever meditated and reflected in communion with your Lord? Have you ever been then satisfied and refreshed with the stillness? Awkward moment of silence. We don't enjoy the pause, do we? We don't enjoy the stillness or the quiet. In fact, unless the TV is on, and the stereo is on, and the cell phone is up to our ear, we can't function if things are still or too quiet. And we try the arts and culture, music, literature, travel, sports, hobbies, social activities, community efforts, and we find ourselves facing the same haunting, hollow, empty, unfulfilled thirst within. And the Lord, through the prophet Jeremiah, said, "My people have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Remember David in Psalm 42, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul after you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." Are you thirsty? May I recommend that it is the stillness that will satisfy. It is the stillness as you plunge into the deep waters of God and His Word. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." Number 5, am I cast down? The phrase there, "He restores my soul." Even David, the man after God's own heart, had times when he was cast down and dejected and afraid. He had tasted defeat in his life. He had fallen into temptation. And so he wrote in Psalm 42, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God." Are you cast down? Allow me to read from Philip Keller's book, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. "A cast sheep, or a cast down sheep, is an old English shepherd's term for a sheep that is turned over on its back and cannot get up again by itself. A cast sheep is a very pathetic sight, lying on its back, its feet in the air. It flails away frantically, struggling to stand up without success. Sometimes it will bleat a little for help, but generally it lies there, lashing about in frightened frustration. This is the way it happens. A sheep will lie down comfortably in some little hollow or depression in the ground. It may roll on its side slightly to stretch out or relax. Suddenly, the center of gravity shifts so that it turns on its back far enough that the feet no longer touch the ground. At this point, it is quite impossible for it to regain its feet. If the owner or the shepherd doesn't arrive on the scene within a reasonably short time, the sheep will die. As it lies there struggling, gases begin to build up in the rumen. As these expand, they tend to retard and cut off blood circulation to the extremities of the body, especially the legs. If the weather is very hot and sunny, a cast sheep can die in a few hours. Another danger, of course, is predators. Buzzards, vultures, dogs, coyotes, and cougars all know that a cast sheep is easy prey and death is not far off. Are you cast down? Are you on your back spiritually? Are you up against the wall in life? Are you struggling to regain your footing, to get back up on your feet? To remember Psalm 42:11, why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope in God. Sometimes we're convinced that when a child of God falls, or when a child of God fails, when he is frustrated and helpless in a spiritual dilemma, that God becomes disgusted, fed up, and even furious with him. That is not true. The good shepherd, Jesus Christ, has the same concern that any shepherd would have for a cast sheep. Just look at the life of Jesus Christ and consider that it was the down and out individuals that he sought out first. In the Gospels, Jesus argues that a good shepherd will even leave the 99, those on their feet, to rescue the one lost sheep. Read John chapter 10. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Are you cast down? Let me encourage you this morning. What does David say? He restores my soul. And for the child of God, for the believer who is on their back spiritually, know that your good shepherd will restore you. Number six, am I following what David says here in the psalm? He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. A commonly held but serious misconception is that sheep can get along just about anywhere. The fact of the matter is, however, that no other class of livestock require more careful handling or more detailed supervision and direction than sheep. And Scripture tells us that we are a stiff-necked and stubborn people. Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And for some reason, we do this repeatedly. And to our own disadvantage, Proverbs says that there is a way which seems right to a man, or to a sheep, if you will, but the end thereof is the way of death. And so where are you going? I might ask, who are you following? American culture will push us and pull us in a thousand directions. On every billboard, every TV commercial, every social contact, there is an invitation to follow, to try, to indulge, to consume. But our Lord, the Good Shepherd, is also extending an invitation, follow me. I will lead you in the paths of righteousness. Am I following? Now, verse number 4. Marks the halfway stage, the middle point in the psalm. Verses 1 through 3. There in verses 1 through 3, if you're looking at the psalm, the writer has been boasting about his shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Who's your shepherd? I'm never in want. He makes me to lie down at rest in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul when I'm on my back. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's my shepherd. But now the writer, the psalmist, turns and addresses the shepherd directly. And you'll notice that there with the personal pronouns I and you are used. Those are marks of a personal conversation. Do you see it there in verse 4? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, you prepare a table, you anoint my head. And now the shepherd boy David, speaking as a sheep in this case, has a dialogue with his shepherd. Question number 7 to ask, am I ascending? Am I ascending? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, am I ascending? In the Christian life, we talk of taking another step spiritually. We talk of wanting to move to higher ground with God. We speak of mountaintop experiences. For teenagers, it's a winter retreat or a summer camp or a missions trip. Somehow we are airlifted onto higher ground spiritually. But the truth of the matter is that reaching the mountaintop requires passing through the valleys. And during the summer months, shepherds in Palestine would lead their sheep on long treks into the high country. And they would work their way up the mountain so that by late summer, they were in the meadows above the tree lines. With the approach of autumn, the early snows would force the flocks back home to the ranches where they would spend the winters. But the point is that the best routes to the mountaintop were always by way of the valleys. And sure, they were scarred by deep ravines. And sure, there were wild predators. And sure, the weather was unpredictable. But they were also well watered with rivers and streams. And bigger than the danger was the presence of the shepherd who was there with his flock, leading his sheep through that valley. It's customary for us to use Psalm 23 as a point of consolation to those who are passing through the valley of death. And rightly so, because death is simply a valley. It's not an end for the child of God. It's a door that we pass through, that we walk through to the higher ground of eternity with God. But the same is also true in life. It is the valleys that make us fit for the mountains. Just remember this. When you go through the valleys of your life, remember the presence of your shepherd. He is with you, and he is leading you and protecting you as you make your way to the mountaintop. Now, David here cites the rod and the staff that are a comfort. In the midst of the fear of that shadow, there's the presence of the shepherd, if you're looking at verse 4. And then there's the rod and the staff that are a comfort. The rod and the staff. The rod was a symbol of authority and power. It was always through Moses' rod that miracles were made manifest. Not only to convince Pharaoh of God's power. That's what we think. Moses' rod was to convince Pharaoh of God's power, but it was also used to convince the Hebrew people of God's power. The rod, the staff, was an instrument for guiding the sheep or rescuing the sheep when they were caught or tangled. And for us, do the tools or the instruments of Scripture and the Holy Spirit and pastors and fellow believers comfort us as we ascend the mountain spiritually? For David, the authority and the power and the direction of the shepherd was a comfort. Am I ascending? Number 8, am I on the table? Am I on the table? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, before you object, thinking it should read, am I at the table? Let me explain. The table that David is talking about is not a banquet table with food. You are not at the table. You are on the table. The table that David is speaking of is a summer range in the high mountain country. Sheepmen call them Alp lands or table lands. The Spanish call them mesas. I believe that's the Spanish word for table. It's a high plateau that David speaks of. And the shepherd would find the summer range in the mountains and check the meadow for poisonous vegetation, for signs of predators, and he would prepare that tableland for summer grazing. Are you on the table? In our Christian life, we often feel that we have to try everything that comes our way. We have to taste this thing and taste that thing and sample everything just to see what it's like. And we get curious and we wander and we forget that our shepherd is going before us preparing the way, preparing the tableland for us. Because Satan is a roaring lion seeking to destroy us. We are always in danger. And spiritual safety can really only be found on the tableland. Although danger is present, the table has been prepared. The shepherd is there. And we need to abide. Are you on the table? Question number 9. Am I covered? Am I covered? What does the psalm say? You anoint my head with oil. What does that mean? Is this a ceremony to identify royalty? Perhaps at first blush we think of David, who was anointed king of Israel by Samuel. But in fact, I would suggest that there is different meaning here. In the summertime, flies would bother a flock of sheep. Warble flies, bot flies, heel flies, nose flies, deer flies, black flies, mosquitoes, gnats. And they would attack a sheep's head, and they would burrow into their eyes and their nose, and they would have a devastating effect on a flock of sheep. So a good shepherd would prepare oil and smear it on the sheep's nose and head as protection against those flies. Isn't that neat? And for the bugs of our Christian life, some of them might even be amongst us here in this auditorium. For the bothersome bugs of the Christian life, we have a comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, and the fruit of the Spirit of God that helps us with those nuisances. Of course, you can study the fruit of the Spirit. Am I covered? And then question number 10, am I sure? Well, let's look at the last verse first. Surely, the triumph here at the end of Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Am I sure of my future? Am I sure of my future? A final triumph, a boast about the future? Are you convinced that your shepherd is good and merciful? Listen to these other psalms. Psalm 105, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting. Psalm 106:1, praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Psalm 107:1, O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Psalm 118:1, O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endures forever. Psalm 136:1, O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. I could go on and on and on. Are you sure of that truth? Are you sure that with the Lord as your shepherd, you can trust and rest in your future? Dwelling in the house of the Lord is not living within four walls. It is the presence of the shepherd that is the point. After the green pastures and after the still waters and after the mountain passes and after every season of the year, the sheep is so deeply satisfied with the flock to which he belongs, with the ownership of his shepherd, that it has no wish to change whatsoever. The house of the Lord is the presence of the shepherd, and there the sheep is content to live. Oh, I would implore you, dear believer, to follow the Good Shepherd. Don't be deceived into thinking that there is greener grass off the path or in a different direction. There is no better shepherd than the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the Good Shepherd, he said in the Gospels, and I give my life for my sheep. Are you sure of your future? Psalm 23 is a psalm that we most often consider at the time of death. And I suppose that's appropriate. But may I also this evening encourage you that Psalm 23 is a psalm for life. David, not as a shepherd, but as a sheep, celebrates his shepherd, the Lord. And this evening, as we meditate on that familiar psalm, am I one of his sheep? Am I in want? Am I at rest? Am I thirsty? Am I cast down? Am I following? Am I ascending? Am I on the table? Am I covered? Am I sure of my future? Let's pray. Father God, with David we celebrate the truth that you are our shepherd. And oh God, you are a good shepherd. Lord, forgive us for our foolishness. Forgive us for our frivolity. Lord, forgive us as sheep. We wander aimlessly. We neglect at times your beckoning voice. And God, we even confess that at times we are fearful. Draw us close to your side. Lord, may we find safety and security and comfort and love and satisfaction in you and in the future that you are providing for us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.